Our theme is, we will go, I will go, and it is based upon the Great Commission. This is the third lesson, and this is the lesson where we're going to focus on the conditions of salvation. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So let's talk about the conditions of salvation. First, let's begin by looking at the definition of conditional. If you look at the word conditional, the root word of that term is condition. So if you look up the definition of the word condition, it means this: imposing, containing, subject to, or depending upon certain limitations. Folks, what we're saying is this: a condition is something that limits or restricts. Now, conditions are something that every one of us are extremely familiar with in life. No shirt, no shoes, no service. See, you know that, okay? Go to these convenience stores, and now if you don't have a shirt, you don't have a shoes, guess what? You don't get served there. How about this one? If paid by the third of the month, there is no interest. We get that, don't we? We're going to get that payment there long before the third because we don't want any interest. This is the one that just drives me crazy now. You call the doctor. I need an appointment. How long have you been sick? 3 days. I'm not going to give you a lick of medicine until you've had those symptoms for 7 days. You've got to be sick a week before they even want to look at you and prescribe any medicine. A limitation, isn't it? So we're very familiar with conditions, stipulations, limitations. God has often used conditions in the course of the history of mankind. Did Noah have conditions placed upon him? Oh, yes. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. He was told the size of the ark, how many stories the ark was to be. Rooms were to be in it, a door in the side thereof, with a window at the top of the ark. Conditions. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Genesis 6:22. We've already talked about Jericho. Jericho was a gift from God, wasn't it? But yet there were conditions. There were limitations placed upon them. It wasn't just given to them. Oh no. March around the city once for 6 days. March around it 7 times on the 7th day. Blow the ram's horn, shout, and the walls of the city will come tumbling down by faith. The walls of Jericho fell down, listen to this, after they were compassed about 7 days. Hebrews 11, verse 30. We read another one. A man by the name of Naaman. Naaman had leprosy. Were there conditions placed upon him? Oh, yes. Go and dip 7 times in that muddy, nasty, stagnant Jordan River. The Bible says that he finally went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan River. Watch this. According to the sayings of the man of God, according to the conditions, according to the limitations, according to the stipulations, and his flesh came again as a little child, and he was cleansed. 2 Kings 5:14. Even Jesus placed conditions on individuals. There was a blind man who came to Jesus on one occasion, and Jesus told him this: go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation is sent. He therefore went his way and washed and came again seeing. Folks, God has oftentimes placed conditions on individuals in order to receive blessings. Now, in the examples that we just gave, there's not a person that I know of that is religious that has any problems with those conditions and those individuals having to meet the conditions in order to receive the blessings. You can go to your denominational friends and you can talk to them about Noah, about Jericho, about Naaman, about the blind man, and guess what? They're all okay with those individuals having conditions placed upon them before receiving the blessings. But when it comes to conditions attached to salvation, individuals think that all of those conditions are evil, don't they? Folks, conditions are not evil things. Number one, they are expressions of a man's faith. Number two, they are expression of an individual's love for the Almighty God. Number three, they are nothing more than simple acts of obedience in harmony with the will of God. So first, we've seen what conditions are. Now, let's stop for a moment and talk about Jesus' conditions for salvation. In Mark's gospel, he mentions two, does he not? Notice the first one. He that believeth. The Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. In our previous lesson, we were told that you and I are to go and communicate what? The gospel, the word of God to those individuals. Those individuals with a receptive, good, honest heart have faith produced in their hearts. Folks, faith is the beginning of everything spiritual, isn't it? You see, it's faith that's the motivator for an individual to do all other things that he is required to do. Without faith, nothing spiritual will ever happen in an individual's life. That's why we refer to those who refuse to obey as unbelievers, don't we? But notice that he also says, and is baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That little word, baptize, is defined as follows. Immersion, submersion, to whelm, to overwhelm, to dip, to plunge, to wash. It never, never carries the definition of sprinkle or pour. Never in the Greek language. I find it interesting that the Bible refers to baptism as a burial, doesn't it? Colossians 2:12, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. That plainly teaches us that baptism involves a total covering up. What is the element? Very simply, the element is water, isn't it? In Acts chapter 8, the eunuch was taught the gospel. He was taught about Christ, a part of the gospel. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Folks, those are the conditions to believe and to be baptized. You see, belief is essential to salvation. Baptism is essential to salvation. Now watch this. There is no salvation without those two things. None. Now somebody might ask, "Well, Vic, what about all of the other conditions of salvation? You've only mentioned two, belief and baptism. What about all of them? I thought there were five." Well, I believe that Jesus mentions two here for a reason. Number one, faith is foundational, isn't it? It's the beginning of everything. And then he moves to baptism because that's the culminating act of faith. That's the very last step that an individual must take in order to be saved from his sins. So Jesus says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." But notice this. There is not any one verse whatsoever in all of the Bible that mentions all five of the steps of salvation. In order to find every step of salvation, you've got to read the entirety of the New Testament in order to glean what God wants a man to do in order to be saved. But I find it interesting that Jesus said that a man has to believe. But how does he believe? By hearing. So hearing is included, is it not? In Mark 16, verse 16. But if we were to include today Luke's gospel, we would find that repentance is also found in the Great Commission. For Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Luke 22, verse 47. So if we took Matthew, Mark, and Luke, put them all together, we would have what? A man must hear, a man must believe, a man must repent, and a man must be baptized. But there's one other step, isn't there? And that's the step to confess the name of Jesus. And fortunately, Jesus included that in His teaching in Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Folks, there are five steps in the gospel plan of salvation. Hear the gospel. Believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repent of sins, confess the name of Jesus, and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus said, that individual shall be saved. If you have not done that, you are in a lost condition before the Almighty God. It's just that simple. Point number three, let's refute this concept of faith only. You see, there are many individuals in our world today who believe that you are saved by faith only or faith alone. And when it comes to Mark 16:16, the only thing they look at is the second half of the verse. Let's look at their argument. Notice what they say. When you read the second half of that verse, preacher, Jesus says this, "He that believeth not shall be condemned." But Jesus doesn't say, he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be condemned. So, as long as we believe, even though we're not baptized, we will not be condemned in the last day. Now, that's the argument that they focus on. So, let's give two answers. I want to begin with an illustration. What if I were to make this statement? He that comes to my house and gives me $5 will receive a book. But he that doesn't come to my house will go without. Now my question is this. Is the fact that I did not say and does not give me $5 in the second half of that verse teach that all you got to do in order to get a book is come to my house? No. Now that's exactly what the denominational world is saying, is it not? Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Well, I don't want to be damned, so all you have to do is believe, because Jesus didn't say and not be baptized. Well, I didn't say, do not give me $5, so that means your book is free, right? Just show up, you get the book for free. No, folks, the fact that I omitted that phrase in the second part of the verse does not negate the fact that you owe me $5 for a book if you come to my house. If you don't believe it, show up at my house this afternoon. Now here's the common sense, folks. If a person does not believe, then what? He will not be baptized. You see, that doesn't even have to be expressed, does it? It's just simple common sense. If a man will not believe, there's no way that individual is going to subject himself to the command to be baptized. Jesus knew that. And therefore he says, he that believeth not shall be damned. But there's a second answer, and it was in question form by Brother E.L. Whitaker at the Knight Arnold Church of Christ. Here's what he said. What does Jesus say in Mark 16:16, that a man must do in order to be saved? Folks, the answer is simple. He must believe and be baptized. Isn't that what Jesus said? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There is no such thing as salvation by faith only. Mark 16:16 does not teach it. It teaches faith, yes. Faith only, no. Faith plus baptism, absolutely. In order to be saved, in order to be a child of the living God. Point number four. Do conditions placed on salvation earn our salvation? There are some who argue that when we attach conditions to salvation other than faith, that we are teaching salvation by works. And then they then turn right around and say, and you can't earn your salvation. That's what you're trying to do. You want to earn your salvation. Guys, submitting to the conditions that God sets forth never earns God's blessing. This morning we had, or a few moments ago, we had looked at four illustrations, didn't we? Noah had to build an ark, and he did. Did Noah earn his salvation from the waters of that flood because he built an ark? Absolutely not. The children of Israel marched around the city of Jericho for 7 days, blew the ram's horns, shouted with a great shout, were given the city of Jericho. Did they earn their salvation because of those conditions? Absolutely not. Did Naaman earn his cleansing because he was immersed 7 times in the Jordan River? Now think about that. He wasn't baptized once. He baptized himself 7 times. If I earned my salvation, surely Naaman earned his cleansing. He's 7 times. I'll guarantee you Naaman didn't think that he earned anything by submitting to the commands of the prophet. What about the blind man? He went to the pool of Siloam. He washed his eyes. He came again seeing. You think Jesus looked at him and said, "Oh, I see you've earned your salvation now. You've earned your eyesight"? Absolutely not. Folks, when we submit to the conditions of salvation, we do not earn our salvation. Notice this, our salvation is still a gift from the Almighty God. As I was thinking about this point, this thought came to mind. I believe that Satan is the one who is blinding the eyes of millions of people through this one argument. Oh, you think you have to be baptized to be saved? Yep, I sure do. Oh, then you think you can earn your salvation? That is an argument from Satan, folks. Watch this next statement. Satan will allow people to think they are saved rather than believe and be baptized in harmony with the will of God and truly know they are saved. Won't he? You see, Satan loves people walking around, "Well, I believe, so I'm saved." They think they're saved. You see, Satan loves that. "Oh, I'll let you do that all day long." But the very moment that one of us shows up trying to teach the truth about baptism and the essential nature of baptism, those individuals rebel against it, don't they? "Oh, you're trying to earn your salvation." No, I just want you to submit to the commands of God in order to be saved. Can you believe it? We're already at the conclusion. See, I'm being easy on you today. I knew. You just look bad. Okay? This is a 50-minute lesson in 20. You didn't even know I could do it, did you? And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Folks, there's 3 important elements that we've looked at in our... to go into all the world and go to every creature that's in this world. Secondly, we have a message. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we saw in our class that teaching the gospel means teaching a lot of wonderful things that individuals need to hear. But when we go, there's conditions that our Lord has placed upon individuals in order to be saved. He mentions 2 in Mark's gospel: believe and be baptized. There's 5 total. Have you heard the gospel? Have you believed in the Christ as the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of sins, die to an old way of living? Stand up and make a confession before men that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you believe that with every fiber of your being, and then simply submit yourself to the command to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Folks, if you'll do that, you can become a Christian today if you're not. If we are Christians, we need to stop and we need to evaluate ourselves. Where is it that I am not right with God? I read an introduction to a book this morning. The title of the book is Man in the Mirror. And he says, who is your greatest enemy? It's the man in the mirror. And how true that is, isn't it? You see, we've got to stop and evaluate ourselves to see whether we are right in the sight of God. If you're not, you need to repent of that and ask God to forgive you. Maybe you just need a prayer request and you want the congregation here to pray for you. You need to respond to the invitation. Won't you do so as we stand and sing?